Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 17th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. I'm doing well. I'm back from Augusta. You're back from Augusta. As much as I love Augusta and it's the best, it's one of the best weeks of the year. Two things I feel like are true when you get back, at least for like Northeasterners, Midwesterners, like you leave and the weather's iffy and you come back and like it's changed. I don't know. It feels like that every year you get back and it's like fully spring. You come back to like 70, 75. And if you have kids, which is not everybody, it feels like they are like a year older than when you left them. It's like two things that feel like so much every time it feels like. So,
yeah, leaving your kids for like 8 to 10 days, depending on how long you're there. It's you come back and they're new kids. And I agree with you on the weather. I came back to like 75 and sunny yesterday. It was like it was delightful. I got to say it was nice to be home. It's always a long week, but you had a little extended week. You won the lottery.
I did.
You
I
wrote
won the lottery.
About it. You wrote about it. I know that all the social media platforms are throttling online content. They're just throttling it down. But everybody should make an effort. I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful piece of writing. I really enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think I would direct you there if you want to read about the round. We'll talk about it here. I've gotten a lot of text messages, direct messages, people I know, I don't know. I apologize. I'm getting through them. And I don't know. Maybe this will be the longer version of whatever my response would be to those. So, yeah, read the article. It was an awesome day. It was cool to do it like the year after you did it, you know, back to back. It's not rigged. I'm told it is extremely not rigged. There's a lot of allegations about the lottery, you know, and I get to play with Solly and Solly winning in his first year. I don't know. It is not rigged at all from what I understand. So it was cool. It was an awesome day. And just building off of you doing it last year was fabulous for this podcast. Super cool.
So tell us about a little. We got to get into it a little bit here.
Sure. Blow by blow, every shot. First shot. Well, we'll start there.
I was gonna say. I want best shot and worst shot.
First shot. Well, let's just start with the first ball. I had the range. Great range session. My caddy is.
What do you think about the tournament range? The tournament.
I mean, it's amazing. It's perfect turf. It's incredible. You got all the world, all the room out there. You know, you can hit the biggest slice or the hardest hook, and you know, it's still like open field. You're like, oh, that's between the pines. It's a great shot. You know, I hit it well. My caddy was under the misimpression that I might have a little bit of game, but I was striping it. So
I feel like you and Solly probably benefited from my naivete last year, where I was wandering around the grounds looking for the regular range, and then found out I got to use the tournament range.
Well, yeah,
so you
what's
guys
crazy?
You guys knew where to go. You didn't waste the time. You get an hour. You get an hour.
Yes, you are not allowed to arrive any more than a minute before an hour early. So we get there at 10:30 for 11:30 tee time. And once, like, of course, that's very regimented. But once you're in there, like, it is wild, like, remarkably casual, right? Yeah. It's like you are a member or something. You're supposed to know where, just walk around, figure it out, have fun, enjoy it. And you don't, I'm sure they're keeping an eye on you, but it's kind of remarkably casual once you're in there.
I found I needed a little directed because I just had no clue what to do, you know?
Yeah.
I felt like a chicken with his head cut off.
You gave us the scouting report there, and that, like, how to kind of maximize that hour before you tee off.
What was the champion's locker? Who'd you get?
We were in the Craig zone. Craig Wood and Craig Stadler over in the corner. It was cool.
The walrus.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I think, let me put it this way. I think, like, some of the more recent high profile players, like super, I don't think their lockers are used by the media at all. They kind of put you on the side, if that makes sense, right? Tiger's all over in one corner. Nobody's using that one. Nobody's using, like, I don't think they'd updated Scotty, the nameplate, with his second win yet. So,
they got a year to get that.
Yeah,
get
they'll,
that
they'll be on top of it. So, yeah, we had the Craig zone, Craig Stadler, which is great. Who'd you have, Weir? Was it Mike Weir?
I think I had Weir. It's great also to see our garden gnome flag hanging behind you for losing that game within the game. That's great to
see.
It's
back there. I'm still in negotiations with my wife about putting it out in the yard. It's an uphill battle right now, but it is in view in the back of the office. She's not happy about that. I mean, what is this, a college dorm room, is what she said when she walked in. I just hastily thumbtacked it to the wall for the pot.
So. All right, so first shot. You hit balls. You do the hole. Did you shop before or after?
I shopped before, just quick, and after, just because you're just not trying to rush out. But I don't think I got anything after. It's just more walking around, chatting with the pros, who are nice, great guys. Maybe egg readers had, you know, enjoy the architecture commentary. Shopped before. It was a lot of master stuff. Got a couple things. Went to the first tee, hit it well on the range. Went to the first tee. I did the Rory 2018 thing. Big moon ball, way outright, gone. See ya. Way gone. So I hit a second one and overcorrected into the trees left. So my first ball was a lost ball, basically. Didn't even go for it.
We had an unsubstantiated rumor that a certain high-profile female member of Augusta National hit the scoreboard on the right on Sunday before the Masters. Was your tee shot better or worse than that?
Well, I mean, that one sounds findable. Mine was not findable. So I guess hers was better. But that was a good unsubstantiated rumor. Just made the loudest bang sound off the board, and people were on the grounds looking around awkwardly.
So. This is for media members that know the back. Over right of one's a little bit of a shuttle path. Do you think you got it to the hospitality area? Do you think that's how far right it was?
Yeah, probably. It was hit too, and it was hard right and high and up over the tree, over everything, and just going hard.
Are we talking like 200 yards from the center line of the fairway, right?
No, but between like 125 to one, yeah, it was long. It was out there, and it started right and kept slicing. So, but
you just got a little stuck. It was the old stuck, but absolutely flushed high right shot.
Yeah, and I mean there are people there too. There's like the media press building. People come out and they're all very happy for you, and it's great. And I didn't have a lot of nerve. I guess I probably couldn't feel my hands too well. I got nervous. I'm working all weekend. You kind of push it out of your mind. Then I'm scrambling to pack. And as you know me, I'm always a little slow to pack. And you'd like to rip on me for that. And slow to get moving. So I was stressed about packing. And so, like, I didn't really have a lot of time to think about it. And then I started getting nervous, probably, you know, an hour before. But other than that, it had been kind of pushed to my mind. And first tee shot, I guess I couldn't feel my hands with some of the audience and I think an assistant pro, and that was gone. Boom.
Was that the worst shot of the day?
There's probably some options for that one. It was up there. Yeah, it was probably the one time I was just like not in play. I played well for me. I played very well for me. I hit it great. I didn't score super great, but it's not really about I would hope that's the one round in your life where it's not necessarily about results and more about process and experience. And I was super happy with the process.
It's funny. I played last year and I had some people asking me this year, like about how I scored. And it's like, I was like, I don't even remember what I shot. And I had to do like the math to figure out what I shot and yeah. like go through my score. And it is the one round that is totally not about score. And what I remember from the round is like some shots, some moments, just the general feeling of it, not what I shot.
Yeah, it's weird. Everyone asks, like, what'd you shoot? And it's like, I think I know. And I'm not trying to hide it, but it just is like so ancillary to the entire thing. But I guess it's a natural question people ask. So it's,
the way I always describe great golf courses is like you're just so happy to be out there that everything else doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah. Like if I was hitting it poorly and I was out of holes and I was, you know, picking up and putting like I would be bummed about that. But regardless of score, right? Like that is how I judge the day. I felt like I hit it great and kind of stayed in holes. There were a couple I, you know, weren't. And that's what I was happy about. I was driving it well and I was playing well.
All right. What was the most memorable shot from like you hit it so great and, you know, you'll take that hitting that shot with you or hole, whatever it is.
Well, I birdied 13, so like I'll take that one with
Let's
me.
Give us the blow by blow here.
So the tees are up. I mean, obviously you play member tees, and so like I'm, you know, not a good player, but I hit it fairly far.
Can get
not
it out there
straight. So the bunkers aren't super in play. 13th tee is right next. The members tee is right next to 12 green. Of course, it's all Sunday pins, super firm and fiery as it was all week. And that flag is right on 12. So it's like it's a bit of a war zone there. Oh, I mean, there was over club challenge must have been going on all day. People shouting four. You got media members who aren't good. I mean, we were on 3 tee box and we got buzzed like 4 times in about from people playing 7 and 2, right? At like seven. 4 times we got shouted at or 17. Oh, was it 7? 7. Yeah, on 3 tee. And so yeah, the balls are dropping on you on 13. Maybe probably not a driver necessarily for me, but I wasn't. It gets so slow down there because people are taking pictures and stuff. It's like, give me the driver, let's go. Not that I was rushing. My only regret of the day was I wanted to keep it moving a little bit because the guys we played with weren't super avid golfers. Yeah, so I didn't walk back on 13, and that was the one regret. As I started like going up 13, I was like, I didn't go back. That was my only regret of like not. I should have gone back and looked. So I hit a driver, and not a big draw, but a bit of a draw, and yeah, just went right down the tree line on the left, and drew a little bit, took the hill.
Man, so you were down by the creek.
No. I was up at the corner, so towards the top, because it wasn't drawing that hard, but it wasn't fading at all, and it wasn't straight. It drew a little bit towards the end, kind of got a fairly flat lie because of that, because I was up high enough. It was like a little bit of a shelf, ball still above my feet, I don't want to go too detailed here. I had maybe like 190 in, so not a lot, right? I mean, I'm going for it. Clearly, I hit a 5 iron, just a little bit much. It went through the green.
I heard
back right.
What? You know, you got set up with a caddy. The caddy selection was the setup
arranged. Yes, maybe.
And the person that was arranged this caddy setup is an avid listener, and I have to wonder, you know, from what you've been telling me, if the listener told the caddy to conduct the over club challenge.
There were a couple of times I felt like, man, that's a lot of club on a couple of them, including 12.
It was hot,
which,
too. The ball was had to be jumping.
Yes. 12, I had too much. I hit an 8, and it went boom, out of here. I yanked it. It was a bad swing. Just off the wall, back down into the creek, way over the green. So I hit a 5 iron in the back left, through the green, into the whatever they call the first cut, the step cut. So you gotta go. I mean, that's a tough pin. Back right.
Yeah.
Down low.
It's so fast.
Yes. And my caddy, an individual by the name of Bussy, caddy there for 30 plus years, an all-time character, incredible green reader, incredible company, saved me so many times with lags and like long putts that I didn't know where I was. I would have been just toast. So he's like, Mr. B, he called me, Mr. B.
Mr. B, love that.
Great, the best guy. As I wrote in the article, I would ask him, how you doing? I guess it's like a thing I say, as we say at the start of the podcast, how we doing? He's like, about the same. He's like, all right, sorry, I'll stop asking. That was his first response. And I don't know what that means. He says, you know, no point in being negative. We're just, I'm the same. So he had me, he gave me a great area to putt it to. He told me where to putt it, what line. And
how did he read putts? How was it, like, what was the style?
He stands like parallel with the putt, right? So his feet are perpendicular with the ball, kind of, right? And he looks down over his right shoulder down the line. And it was incredible. But like, you can't get him, you can't have him being like 60% or anything. Like, you just gotta ask, like, where's the hole? Tell me where to putt it. Like, he was an ace, but you can't be like, you know, how many ball, like 60% putt. He's like, where am I putting to? Where's the hole? He's like, right here, uphill to this point, right here.
How many shots do you think he saved you on the greens?
A bunch, like 5, 6. I don't know, 5. And I got it. Not like he was incredible. I executed.
The stability shaft was rolling.
Rarely. Yeah. I mean, rarely given for me. I executed extremely well on touch all day. And where he was telling, like, that was a big time saver for me. So this was a case at 13. I'm in the rough. He's like, you're not wedging that. Like, that would be a mess. So I putt it. I go through like a foot of rough, down into the fringe, up onto the green. And then it's diving hard downhill, right? It stops 4 or 5 feet short. And then I'm in tight and everybody else is not. So I had like an 8 minute wait looking at this 4 footer. I was dying, Andy. And you know me, 4 or 5 footers, like, if it's of consequence, it's not going in. I'm not, I have time to think about it, not going in. So
was it outside? Did you have to play it outside the hole? Was it a slider?
Left edge. Yeah, left edge.
Oh,
yeah.
God, what an awful putt to have.
It was such a long wait. And I'm just staring at it. I don't think I moved. I was right on line behind it. So I'm just looking down at it. Didn't go like look around or anything. And I made it. And yeah, grabbed Solly. Gave him a big high five and had the birdie on 13. So that was like favorite hole.
I mean, I don't want to discount. I don't know. We haven't talked blow by blow personally.
No.
I don't want to discount any shot, but it sounds like that putt was like a miraculous shot. Like, that would be a shot that a tour pro, if you put them there.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
knowing the greed, if you put a tour pro there to hit it to 4 feet there, they would be like floored.
Yes. I think I don't want to. I don't know. Yes, a miracle shot. I don't have good touch. It was a miracle. They probably would have wedged it. I don't know, but maybe putt it. But that one and the other one, I'll just say specific to Bussy. Probably my favorite, one of my best shots, my favorite drive, best drive for sure was 8. Like, I just hammered it and I cut it like just off the bunker edge to the right side. Right, that's the better side to be on, angle up. Probably that tee is way up. I was probably in the Bryson zone. I was like 60 yards over the bunker, like up in the past the crosswalk there. Hammered it. It was just, and that's such a cool view, as you know, like down on that 8, like whether you're a patron or a player, not to, you know, it's an amazing vista. And so it was great to just cork one and fade it up to the right top there. And but on that green, I yanked a 5 iron into the only place you can go, like, can't go. All the schmutz and the azaleas, and got so lucky. It was sitting up and had a window. I popped the wedge back up onto the green. That one was like revelatory for me as a player. That green is way more severe than I think you can tell. Like, because you can't get close necessarily because of the mound.
The back part is insane.
Yes. So it's a back left pin, and I'm on the right edge of the green. And without Bussy, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm going to play it out on the right a little bit. And Bussy comes up. He's like, you see the grant? Like, he had me 30 feet, probably right. 30 feet. And I like, he saved me probably three shots there. I made a par there. Like, I got the touch right. I was so far out on the right. And that is a green, that back section. For me, it was like one that I was like, holy crap. I don't think I appreciated how significant that break is. So I two putted there for par, thanks to him. So eight was special too. So I don't know. For
that left side just swallows balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It's, yeah,
it's a, that one was like, as I didn't see that putt, I didn't know it was that crazy back there and how far out you have to play it.
Was there anything, I think, like, you know, as media, as patrons, you're always outside the ropes. They're very strict about going inside the ropes.
Uh-huh.
Being inside the ropes is like a different feeling, and you notice things that you wouldn't otherwise when you're outside. What were some of your takeaways from just being inside the ropes and on the ground there?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, obviously the turf is like immaculate to hit off. I as like a poorer player, sometimes you don't want it to be super tight, right? You like the grab of a little bit of I found it to be really pleasant and not easy, but quite workable to hit off, whether it was a four iron or a tight wet, like a lob wedge around the green. It was really enjoyable to hit off, even as a poorer player. Like, the turf is we know it's immaculate in condition and all, but it didn't feel like incredibly tight. And maybe that was because they hadn't, you know, mowed it or whatever, but I don't know. It was really, really enjoyable to hit off of. I mean, the bunker sand's blinding. Like, you go in it.
It
I was just
so
like, oh,
blinding.
Like, you know, it's white, but
you need like,
you,
go,
you can't see. Yeah. You can't see. You cannot see. Well, I mean, yeah, it was just all the way around it. The putts, it's obvious. Like, you know, the putts are going to be extreme, right? And this, but you can't prepare yourself for it, especially Sunday pins, as firm as it was. 10, I like overcooked it a little bit, just down to the first cut there. Like, it came
on the right,
was running hard. Yeah, I drew it and was running hard and went, no, left.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so it got to the first cut there, and there's like one solitary tree on the left there, and it was like blocking both Solly and I. Solly crushed his, and it was like, you don't see that ever come into play, right? And so that was, and probably for good reason, but that was interesting, new one. I you don't see that obstruction necessarily. I don't know. Nine, I drove it to the crosswalk, hit a good wedge.
Did you take a drop?
Came back. No. I was just below the crosswalk. Just not in it. Solly was in the crosswalk.
Did he take a drop?
I can't remember. I think he did. Yeah. They Bossy was like, they don't want you hitting off that. Get out of there. So I hit a wedge, and then you want to talk about a putt where I didn't have my touch. I put it halfway to the hole on nine from below it, and that thing was boom, gone, way down the fairway.
Rolled down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A putt that didn't get to the hole, but went all the way down the fairway. See ya. I had two great shots to be on the green, and I made a triple. Then I tried to bump a 9-iron up the hill. It came right back to me, and then I hammered the 9-iron past the hole. Triple.
Honestly, you want to talk about like the most vicious greens at Augusta National. That might be number one in terms of just like...
Yeah.
If you're past it, you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can keep this on.
Yep.
And if you're short of it, it's so slow going up that it's like easy. You could easily make a mess of it.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say, like, of course, Mackenzie talked about how it has to be exacting for the great player and fun for the poorer player. And it was all that. It was everything for me as like a mid handicap. It was so playable and enjoyable, and you can feel like you're playing well while posting a six or a double. I played well. I enjoyed that. The one for somewhat of my ability, the one where you get punched in the face, is the par threes, right? Like, you are like, I would have had a pretty good score if not for the par three. Like, the par threes crushed me. You got to hit the 7-iron to the right section, or the whatever it is, even an 8-iron, 6-iron. 4, I hit a great shot. There was wind too the day. Like, it's firm. There was a lot of wind. 4, I hit a great shot and just got knocked down hard into the front bunker, and that was it, you know. And but the par 6, this is the back right shelf. Like, you have to, the other holes, the par 4, you can kind of, you know, you can hit your 7-iron, or maybe you're hitting a wedge often to a spot near the green and wedge up and down, right? But where at the par 3s, you gotta kind of hit the shot. And for the poorer player, you get popped.
The 6, the Sunday pin on 6 is crazy. You stand on that tee and it just like feels like it's just floating up there. And you look at it, I think like the thing I felt when I looked at that, and that kind of like, honestly, that hole started me playing well last year. I was kind of in a blender until 6. And like what happened was like, I looked at that hole and I was like, well, I have to hit a really good shot here, because like, You look at the slope and you're like, I don't want to be over left. I'm going to 3-putt from over there.
Right.
So
I missed the green right.
You take it on. You missed it right? Did you make
a
par
pin
or
high.
Bogey?
No. God, no. I missed it right. Fell off pin high. Tried to run one into the hill. Didn't get up.
That had to be brutal.
They were just like looking at me laughing. It came back, putted on, and then I think I made a 6.
What was like the what was it like to chip? Was it just like were shots just like ping ponging around?
Yes.
Because of how firm it was.
Yes. And I'm not getting greens in regulation very often, so I'm doing that. And I thought I did pretty well. I don't think I had any kind of, I didn't chip through the green or wedge through the green ever. They were close. It was so like 17 was very close to falling off the back. 18, very close to falling off the left, but it was so fun. It was, I'll tell you one really memorable shot, and then we can get out of here. Was 14. So 14, I pulled it a little bit, but it's just, I mean, it's nuclear out there. The ball bounced, the drive bounced maybe 30 feet in the air in the trees left, like so high in the air on the bounce. And that's an uphill.
It must have caught an upslope of one of the pine trees in there.
It ran through the trees probably another 50 yards. It's crazy. So I'm in the trees, and that's that back pin. What a really memorable shot. I punch it through the trees and just to that back slope, right? It's not a punch bowl, but you know, the slope behind the green. And I played it the right line. It got stuck on the shelf. It went up to the hill and didn't come down behind the pin. But I will have those like 5 seconds forever of like just how fun that was to like do it. And, you know, like the putt then coming back, I was, you know, I went 30 feet out to the right and just tried to take it down and almost made it, and then whatever, missed the comeback. But I'll have that 5 seconds of like that punch shot, executing it on the line, it just getting held up on the hill behind the hole. So that was a fun moment. So
did anybody attempt any TIO relief?
Oh, that's a good one. I got TIO relief from a sprinklers in 11, right? 11. 11 was sprinklers. My only hole that I've the sprinkler, the
box,
the boxes. Yeah. Okay. The boxes. So, 11 was the only hole I feel like I didn't play. Like I was just, you know, I was out. I just slice poof into the trees, chunk punch, puttering around more in the trees, another punch out, hit a good wedge pin high, but it fell off on the right. And it just, I was like, that was a mess. So
I
got TIO from the sprinkler.
I feel like 11 was the thing that killed a lot of the leaders, a lot of the contenders, you know, you're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, you're so scared of going left as a bad player, let alone a good player, that you kind of overcompensate in a million. That tee shot, even from the members' tees, is just so uncomfortable, right? You're so worried about, you know, pulling it left, and then, you know, you got the, obviously the tree's right. So,
and it runs.
It looks so tilted, right? So it's a menacing tee shot.
The I got to say what you hit on, and you know, you being, I was so happy that you played well. I think like that's the magic of this golf course is that, you know, you played really well. We're in the hole. You never didn't really lose balls. Like,
no.
You're always in the hole. And then I think for a good player, like it's jarring to play it because you these targets are so small that you're trying to get to. And then what happens is a lot of times because you're trying to get to these targets that are tiny, you end up in the wrong place. And that's where you end up making, you know, bogeys, doubles. You just get kind of like it is the ultimate golf course where I really think like great golf design brings skill levels a little bit more together. Where I think like Augusta, if you're a great player, if you're a good player, you can score really well out there, but you have to play really well to do it. If you play mediocre at Augusta as a good player, you're going to shoot well above your handicap. And I think for the average player, sure, it can eject you, it can knock you back, but I think that score variance might be a little bit smaller.
Yeah, yes. And obviously there's a ton of great courses, but you know this one so well that you, like I've been fortunate to play some great courses and you know like the good holes and you do your research, but this one, like you know every single hole and I didn't need to write down what I did. I went and did that at the airport just for 10 years from now in case, but I could tell you every single shot. And because you already have the canvas upon what you're playing, right? So like you focus on what you're doing and within that canvas. And so, yeah, it was just a totally unique round for obvious reasons. What I love is you talk about, there's like a certain sense of achievement, right? When you do make that, like you said, for a good player and the bad player, like when you do hit a wedge, it stays on the green or it stays in the right section. There's just like an extra level of satisfaction and probably less. You can't get mad. Like you're not getting angry at anything, right? You're not angry about anything. You're just getting popped by in the most enjoyable way. And you can drive it great. And like then... and feel good about it, right? You feel great. But then it's like, all right, now it's about to be really fun. Now, but then there's also so much more fun after. Like even 7 and 3, I crushed down the middle. But now it's like, okay, here we go now, right? And that's, you feel good about what you did, but also so excited about the fun to come.
I remember like 3, I hit a really, I think most people know I played it with like Persimmon and old
players. Yeah, I was really thinking about that. Yeah.
I had a really good drive on 3 and I was right. It was into the wind. It was like kind of cool and brisk and I was right on top of the hill. You know, and I was standing there and I was like, God, this wedge shot's impossible. Like it's like, that's like some of the things that happen out there. You get a good drive and then you're like, wait, it might be better to be somewhere else where you're just trying to get it to like, you're trying to push it into like a spot to get up and down or something. Like,
yeah.
It's
like, yes.
You know, the other aspect of it is just all the memories of shots that you've watched and getting to, it's just the ultimate nostalgia round. In terms of like, I don't know, I wrote about this a little bit last year, but it's like, I mean, this is the stuff that you dream about as a kid going, when you go to the golf course is like hitting these shots. And I think like, it's such a cool tradition because I always remember as a kid and, a competitive golfer, like the Monday after the Masters, like you go to the golf course or Sunday night of the Masters. Like I would go and go to the putting green for the last hours of the night and hit putts and chips and stuff. And Monday after, and you're like reliving, you're thinking about the Masters, you're simulating like this putts to win the Masters and like to get to play the Monday after the Masters. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. You connect it to everything, right? Like your golf life, essentially, right? Everything you've done at any, like how you got into golf, caddying, your parent, like you do all that. And yeah, you connect it to everything.
Who's your first phone call when you left?
It's a good question. I drove with Solly and we chatted the whole way to the airport. Like that, like he dropped me off at the airport. So I talked to him and I talked to you in the airport. I think you called me before I'd gone through security. I talked to you. First person I've talked to is my parents before this. I did. My dad wanted like the blow by blow. So I just went the whole way around with what happened, yardages, clubs, the whole deal. And so, yeah.
Was he upset with anything? Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
No. He wished he could have caddied, but no, he was just listening. Like, oh yeah, sure. Right. Cause everybody knows, like, you know what, he knows what I'm talking about. He knows all the spots. So, that was a good call.
What was your wife's reaction?
I'm
curious if it was the same as my wife.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, that sounds cool. But that's it. I told her I birdied 13. And no. She like told the kids, like, hey, dad birdied 13. I think it's a big hole and she's playing a good course today. So
that's the life of a golfer with a non-golf wife.
Right. Right.
I told my wife, I'm like, Brett is playing Augusta National. She's like, oh, okay.
There's way more pressing issues and topics of conversation. It was kind of amusing, but expected. So, yeah, no, a special day. I wrote about it, obviously. It was cool for so many reasons. So,
any other cleanup? What was one shot? I guess one shot that you had maybe overlooked. That playing it, you're like, whoa, that's a cool shot.
That's a good question. I don't know about overlooked. I mean, so I drove it. I drove it great down the chute at 3 all the way up. And we know that green. We know it, right? And you know it's going to be tricky. And you're just, I played 2 awesome. Made a par. Should have probably been, missed the edge. 3 was amazing. The wedge, I was so timid. The wedge shot at 3 and 15, I was just in the right tree, so I punched down. Like those, the most timid wedge shot. Like, so 3 pin is like in that little peninsula left, the Sunday pin. I went so far right. I was not messing around there. And that was just really fun. Obviously, that was like, I don't know if I overlooked it. We all know like it's a short hole and the challenge is up around the green. But just getting to do it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. And I just like hit this like little flare, scared baby like wedge way right to the back. So, same with 15 and that middle pin.
Oh. I know there's probably a lot of people that listen to both our podcast and No Laying Up. What was your favorite shot of Solly's?
Oh, I don't want to give away his round and he'll talk about it. He went in the back bunker at 12. He had too much club, I think, and went right, you know, towards the right half of the green, went in the back bunker.
Took it on. And I stood on that tee and they tried to talk me into hitting it in the middle. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm playing this hole one time. I am taking this thing on.
At it, yeah. And, he'll talk about it. He made an insane bunker shot from the back bunker, made a 3 from that back bunker. So it was like, that was one, a highlight, I'm sure, for him. He should have got the big bird at 2, had a pitch from behind the green lip on him. So that was a cool memory right away. He's a good player and it was a blast to get to watch him. I'll let him go through hole by hole, but that like added to it, right? Like he would get in trouble and like to see him try to, some of the recoveries he made were super cool to watch, right? Like when he would miss a fairway or have like, where do I go through these trees to get to this spot to set up? Like that was an extra like pleasure for me to watch. And between him and then Bussy giving me these reads, like just on top of the place, the company was awesome. So,
man, I'm happy for you. I know your day probably started right. That day. Do you know what it started with? Some Good Walk coffee. Which did you have I put the fried egg blend in the coffee machine.
Yeah. So we don't have to get there till 10:30. So I'm just at the house. I'm homebound and I'm trying not to rifle through too much coffee, but I want my juice. You're already a little anxious. So I had my Good Walk coffee, fried egg blend. They had the Jura set up. It hadn't gotten picked up from the rental house yet. So I had my fancy coffee maker and had my cup of, I had two cups, which is about standard for me. Fried egg blend, which you can get at goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. I think there's another URL too, but shotgun's the one I know on the top of my head. You can buy both the fried egg blend. That's the lighter roast, which is your preference. Right.
Yeah, I like that one, but I drank a lot of the Shotgun Start blend this week too. I really enjoyed it.
That's a darker one.
Yeah, it's a little bit darker. Medium dark, medium light are the two blends. Are we still doing the sub contest? When did we say we were calling that? Is it Wednesday?
Let's keep it open. Yeah, you're still open, and people listen to this Wednesday and Thursday. Why don't we close it like Friday at noon?
We have $300 of Pro Shop credit going to one person, and we've got a slew of the other things that we're going to send out. So
bunch of goodies.
I'm not sure the exact number of winners we have. We got to go through all the stuff we have, but
It will be multiple. It'll be several. We got a bunch of Dratty merch, maybe some amusing items procured in Augusta. So be a subscriber. You can subscribe. When you subscribe, you get 10% off standard every time the bags go out, but also on your first time, if you use the code SGS, you get 20% off on that first. So it's 30% on the first order.
Got a lot of people are like, I don't have a, you know, I have a Keurig. Get the reusable pods, and then you're it's so much better. I used to have a Keurig, and I did this, and having fresh ground coffee in there, these Keurig pods that you're buying at the grocery store have like 2-year-old coffee in them. Like, it's going to be better. And these reusable pods cost like I think they're like $5 to $10.
Yeah.
Just do this. Your coffee life is going to be better. You're going to have better coffee.
Environmentally friendly too, probably.
Exactly. Huh? You're going to save a ton of plastic being created into the world. So,
yeah. So people ask us like how to support the pod. This is a way to do that, and also hopefully get something you use and drink and want. So subscribe at goodwalkcoffee.com.
What's the promo code shotgun for the first time?
SGS. I think it's SGS. We mixed it up a couple times last week. I think it's SGS, 20% off. That's the one-time order, but also a subscription if you get 20% off the first.
Hey,
run.
Are you ready? I guess I'm hosting this podcast here.
It feels like it. Go for it.
Are you ready?
What do we want to do?
Are you ready to talk about the event that's the signature event at Harbortown the week after the Masters, or do you want to go to in out or alternate next?
I think it would only be fitting if we did in out alternate. I think we got to do in out alternate. It's a favorite game. I would just
event
suggest
of the week,
for the
event
record,
of the week's, Western Intercollegiate at Positiempo. Okay. By the way, it's you can watch the last round on Golf Channel tonight. Prime
7
time
to 10
Positiempo.
P.m. Eastern.
You see, they're finishing on the front nine. Questionable decision, you know, finishing on the nine. Like, it's a great nine holes. I love Positiempo. The front nine's great. It's underrated, but the back nine's like one of the best back nines in the world. I know they probably wanted to show off the renovation that they did, that the front nine's done right after this. I believe they're tearing up the back nine. Hopefully there won't be pictures of, you know, them celebrating tearing up the Mackenzie greens like last year. But hopefully there won't be, you know, people walking away with chunks of grass from the original Mackenzie greens, but we'll see.
Nevertheless, event of the week. I love that digression. All right.
All right, in, out, or alternate, our favorite game to play with
outside of cutthroat fields. Corner. The entire field is cutthroat corner, as we stated.
I got to say, I found myself wanting to dive into some of these and do like mini cutthroat corners along with this, but I didn't want to burn too many.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start in, out, or alternate the game. It's you name a player. And Brendan has to guess whether they're in the field, out of the field, or an alternate in the field, or alternate to get into the field.
Yep.
Usually you're around 50% on this game, but you've been getting better. I feel like the more we do this, the better you get.
Yeah, it's hard to find new names probably for you.
It is hard. I went with a new strategy today. So.
All right. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Let's start with Billy Horschel.
At the Punta Cana? Has he fallen that far? He clearly would qualify. Does he want the points, I guess, is a separate question. We'll go in. Going for some points.
Headliner of the field, Billy Horschel.
That's tough. That's a fall. That's a fall from grace that you're now.
I was hoping you were just going to be like, there's no way Billy Horschel's playing this.
It felt like you had to put him in there just because he's in. He wouldn't have been on your mind unless you scan and see him on the list. I'll note for the avid listener, you'll remember Wyndham Clark this time last year was playing Punta Cana. And there he was, you know, a couple months later. So Billy Ho.
God, all right.
That's tough.
Up next, Jeff Overton.
Boom, baby. I thought I saw he was making a bit of a comeback or something like that in the earlier this year. We'll go alternate.
He is in.
Oh my gosh.
He's a sponsor's invitation.
Why? What is Corrales?
What's the connection to talk there? About this. Like, imagine what? Picking sponsors' exemptions for this event.
Just, I mean, give it to the college kids. Or is this the one that the mid-am gets
I mean, the
in?
College kids are like in mid-season. They all have college tournaments.
That's true. They're playing
there
the Western
is a mid-am in the field.
This is the mid-am where you win the teeth of the dog or whatever, the mid-am thing.
Joe Durante, who's famous. Yes. His famous career moment was not shaking Lucas Michel's hand. Or no, he was conceded. Conceded a putt.
Fake, yes. Did the little
and then said, no, I didn't say it was. He yeah. shook his hand. He shook his hand
wait,
before
you gotta
the putt.
That's what it was. Yes. Yeah. That was the final, right? The mid-am
yes.
final? Yeah. Yeah.
He is a he's a career mid-am, plays, you know, regular mid-am golf. So he's a fixture on the cocktail circuit.
So he's down. He's playing for what?
I think the Canadian Open has some sort of mid-am exemption too to the Canadian mid-am. I feel like he's played in that too. So this is not his first PGA Tour start. All right, let's go to the Silver Slovak, Rory Sabatini, one of our favorites. He might be. He's getting ready for the Olympics here.
He's got. I saw 100 days to Paris. His big countdown today. So we've gotten a lot of social media images of him skiing in Slovakia, just farthest thing of mind away from golf right now. He's in, you know, a headband and mittens and skiing. That said, the guy's got to have some status. I'm going to say alternate for Saba. Oh,
you nailed it. One Hell out of yeah. three.
Hell yeah. Is he even going to entertain waiting on the range, or is he just skiing in Slovakia?
I can't believe you got the alternate. So you're two out of three now. Two out of three. Dick Johnson.
No, come on. When will we get... What year will he stop being included in this game? Is it going to be 2040? When is this going to happen?
Richard S. Johnson.
I'm going to just take a swing and say Dick Johnson is in.
He is out.
Okay.
What about Carlos Franco? Another favorite.
There's a Champions Tour event this week. I'm going to say out.
Keep in mind, Carlos Franco has better status on the PGA yes. Tour than the Champions Tour.
Easier to get into opposite field events than the Champions Tour. I'll say
you are
out.
Correct without call. Right. Now you are. Well, you got three.
I think I'm
three out of
for
five.
Four. Yeah,
three out for five.
Four. Which
no,
one?
You missed Overton.
That's it.
You missed Overton and Dick Johnson.
Oh,
you said Dick Johnson was in.
All right, you're right. You're right. Okay.
All right. DA points.
Like Augusta, score doesn't peaking. Matter. Did he win? Didn't he win? I could see he was. This is where he shouted at Jay. Wasn't it this event? Wasn't he shouting at Jay
he
at one
won,
of his opposite
I think
field
he
events?
Won. He won the. What's the other one? He won the Puerto the Rico.
Puerto Rico. I'm going to say he's in on like a past champions, something or other.
He's in on a sponsor's invite.
What these they're missing the boat here. Jeff Overton and DA points. like I would honestly, I'd put like a YouTube golfer on there, right? Go get Michael Block. Get some, like, okay. All right. DA I'm points. Find,
I think I'm done with my sponsor's exemptions.
Okay.
All right. No, I'm not.
I don't want to pull up the field because I don't want to
be cheating. I'll pull all up right. All the sponsor's exemptions after.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So you're now 4-for-6. This We're is hot. A banner day. Omar Uresti. Slomar.
Oh. We got some unsubstantiated rumor about. Oh, Omar cleaned up on some. He was at some like outing, and he was like got closest to the pin. Of course he did. He's a freaking PGA Tour pro, and like took home the credit. He's like, I'll take that. Someone sent us an unsubstantiated rumor on Slomar. So, in between taking closest to the pin prizes from saps at charity outings, I'm gonna say he's an alternate.
He is out. Is
out. Okay. It's All right. about time.
Robert Garrigus. I am still relevant. What did he say again?
I could win next week, so that makes me relevant. Technically, I could win next week. I mean, yeah.
So can he win this week?
I'm going to say he's in. He could win this week.
He's an alternate.
Wow.
So you're four for eight, back to 50, okay. the 500 line. You're a Bulls basketball team, 500.
All right. All right.
We got play-in tonight.
Oh.
All right, let's go Fabian Gomez.
Oh, man. He's won, I think twice, won Memphis, I want to say, and somewhere
Hawaii.
Else.
Hawaii. He won Hawaii.
Yeah, Sony. I'm going to say he's in, based off of that.
He is out. He was in, but he withdrew.
Okay. I think that counts. If he was in count. The field, that no. As of publication of the field list, that counts.
No, it doesn't.
That counts. You got to give me at least a half. No. You got to give me a push.
There's no
on
half
that
points.
One.
He's out of the field. That's just a trick question.
That's bullshit. All right. That's a trickeration. That's bullshit. Okay.
All right. Baby Walrus. son of your master's champions locker room.
All right, so we've had a couple outs in a row. I think he's out though. He's out. He's not still playing. He doesn't have one last trip of status, does he?
I got good news for you. He's an alternate.
What are we doing? What?
Probably be in by the time the tournament starts.
Is he above or below Sabo on the alternate list? Or do
Sabo's first
that?
Alternate. By the time we publish this, he might be in.
Unless he's skiing. Okay. Central Europe.
All right. So now you're 4-for-10, 40%. I got you on your back
you
foot
got me.
Here.
Yeah. Yep.
Matt Every.
Okay. I feel like he stopped playing golf. He's a colleague. He's a fellow. I think he has a podcast. But you're kind of setting me up here with the play action. So I think I'm going to go swing the other way and bring the blitz and say he's in.
He is out.
Oh, you got me again. I talked myself into that. I was like, he's not playing anymore. Damn it. You set me up. All right.
I saw somebody, there was some quote. I can't remember who said this about PGA Tour pros. We never retire.
Yeah,
it was eventually run out of status or something.
Johnson Wagner.
Yeah,
doesn't Johnson Wagner say that to somebody last week?
I think so.
We don't actually retire; we just run out of status.
There's no retirement press conferences.
Yeah, no.
Jonathan Bird.
Oh man, I feel like he has kids coming up already now. JB Smoove. Alternate.
In.
I'm getting crushed here.
Four for 12.
Demolished.
You were 4-for-6. You've got 6.
Why is Jonathan Bird in a PGA Tour field in 2024? What are we doing?
All right.
It's like a welfare program.
I mean, think about this event being labeled the same thing. It's branded the same way. is the other event that has Alejandro Toste and all the other great players in the world.
The other ones outside of him, in addition to the greatest.
All right, next up, George McNeil. We got five left.
Oh, this is a staple of in-out alternate. The old George McNeil came close to Greenbrier once before that was a live event. He's not in. I cannot abide that. He's not in. Which one is he?
He is in. I'm gonna say, on sponsor's exemption.
Who is controlling the sponsor's exemptions?
All right, I can now George read McNeil, off the sponsor's exemptions.
DA points and Jeff Overton? Is this just some guy who really loved the PGA Tour in like 2011? And just like grew up, like loved those guys? I'm getting George, DA, and Jeff together.
You're 4-for-13 now. This is one of the best performances of my tenure here.
Yeah.
All right.
I was debating Alder alternate for George McNeil. Holy.
Sponsors exemptions. George McNeil, Jeff Overton, Ricky Barnes.
The Dutch boy. I can get behind that. Yeah.
Wesley Bryan. I could get behind that.
Yeah, sure.
Popular YouTuber.
Yeah.
Eric Compton. Don't know if we needed that.
Eric Compton. Okay. Yeah.
Joe Durante, yeah. Which is winning that Mid-Am event to
sure.
get in.
Sure.
Which, if you have an exemption for a Mid-Am, as someone who played Mid-Am golf at one point in my life, I have to question
yeah.
if this should be a PGA Tour event just strictly based off of that exemption. Not even a national. This is not a U.S. Mid-Am exemption. It's some
no.
teeth of the like some ridiculous preposterous
like
little
thing
Mid-Am
yeah.
event that yeah. doesn't even yeah. get that great of a Mid-Am feel. This
because
is not
you
got to
pay.
Mid-Am.
It costs money to go and time to travel and stay at a resort in the Caribbean, which you know it's not that they can't. It's just yeah, no, a lot of the guys don't even go down there. So.
All right, other sponsors exemptions. Alex Fitzpatrick, great one.
Okay, makes sense.
He's 148th in the OWGR. Thurston Lawrence, good one.
Makes sense.
Dirt yes. McGirt, DA points. Herman Weeb Sekne, who what? I don't know who this man is. He would have been on
PGA
there.
Guy?
He's an amateur.
No, separate category.
He's an amateur okay. from Norway.
Okay.
Just odd. Okay. Odd. Okay. Odd exemption.
How Let many me they see. Have?
God damn! I just clicked into him, and now I lost. All right, last one here. Last one. Nick Watney. Another 2011 golfer.
Yeah. Who run? We need to figure out what agency is running this. You know, a lot of these agencies also run events, whether it's Sport 5 or Wasserman or Endeavor. Like,
all right,
the Fitzpatrick thing is curious.
Let's whip through the last four here.
Okay.
Still haven't sold their house. The grandparents still haven't sold their house in Augusta. Holding out is the house in the parking lot. Scott Brown, in, out, or alternate.
He's one. I'm gonna say in.
He is an alternate.
Oh my gosh!
4-for-16.
Someone do the tabulation of how many FedEx Cup points have been earned by that list of sponsors exemptions over the last, I don't know, 4 years. All right, continue.
Dirt McGirt.
You just said he's in on a sponsor.
Oh,
you just
shit.
Revealed he's in. I get that one. Give it
you
to
get
me.
Get that one. 5-for-17. Yeah. Dirt McGirt, there's an article that was written. I saw there's a news article.
Oh, come on. We're doing Dirt McGirt content.
Some news outlet said wrote an article about Dirt McGirt making the second PGA Tour start of the year.
It wasn't the bot? Like a
no,
real person?
No, it was like a local news outlet. Big okay. big Dirt McGirt news. All right, Danny Chops. The in, out, or alternate?
Danny Chops. Well, can he make more money doing PGA Tour Live this week in his neon yellow? I'm going to say out, Danny Chops.
You're right. 6 for 18, up to 33%. Last one. David Hitman Hearn.
The Hitman Hearn. He's got to be getting close to champion. I don't want to say he's old. In. I'll walk off with an in for the Hitman.
He is in. Strong finish. You got the last three. You got yourself up to 7 for 19.
A little below 500. So.
Just that run in the middle. I got you jumbled.
Oh, crushed me. You really threw me off there with George McNeil.
All right. Before we get to the other tournaments, we got to talk a little bit about my morning routine. Morning routine.
Yeah.
Augusta's a taxing week. It takes a toll on you because you're unhealthy. You're eating at weird hours. You're eating like, it's not like the mecca of health foods. It's kind of like Sheboygan. There's not kavas everywhere in sight for Brendan. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for 2 years now, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standards for purity and potency. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. And trust me, there's a reason I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. That's a lot more. It's 9.5x for those that, you know, wanted to do the math. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by making it so there aren't a million different pills or capsules to keep track of. All I have to do is just take one scoop of AG1, mix it with water, shake it up every day. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes vitamin C and zinc to support my immune health. On those long weeks, you know, I fell victim a couple of years ago to Masters Week. I got really sick. Not this year. I had my AG1. I feel great. I feel refreshed as I got back.
You did.
I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking it every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/shotgun. That's drinkag1.com/shotgun. Check it out. Do you think any of those guys on the alternate list are drinking AG1 this week?
No. I think no. They're stuck in 2011 in many ways. I don't think AG1 was around. They weren't testing for that many contaminants back then. I don't think they are. You're doing a great job of hosting, by the way, here today. Multiple ad reads, sort of Q&A, in-out alternate. You're doing a heavy lift here on your Wednesday. So
it's almost like I host another podcast.
Yeah, you might do this as a professional. So should we continue with schedule for the week? You want me to take
over? Yeah, I'm passing the ball. You're hosting from now on.
Okay. All right. We've hit the Punta Cana and more. We've done enough on that. That's in the morning. RBC Heritage, 8 to 10 a.m., by the way.
This might be the longest episode of our year.
I know. We need to move it on. RBC Heritage, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 to 6 p.m. on Golf Channel. Then CBS is back on the call. Our guy, Trevor Immelman, Jim Nantz, 3 to 6 p.m. Finish Saturday and Sunday. I think pretty much everyone's in the field, right? I saw Hovland WD, but, it's a signature event. The week after the Masters, same purse, $20 million, 3 points. You know, winning Harbortown's the same as winning the Masters on the accounting
Insane.
Books.
Insane.
$20 million to the winner. I don't know. I don't think we really need to do notables. Do you have a one-and-done pick? It's the top guys in the tour. I think Hovland was the only WD I saw.
I kind of wish I had Spieth available. I'm mad I burned him. He burned me when I picked him.
Yeah.
This feels, I mean, this is the DL, this is more so than any ever before is the DL3 Memorial Tournament, where, you know, you're going to see a big name win that might have been disappointing at the Masters, and, you know, their game just clicked 1 week later. Maybe the pressure, you know, whatever it is. I'm taking Matty Fitz, defending champ. He's relentless here.
Chalky, but that's who I was going to take too. I mean, he is on the record as saying it's his favorite event. I want somebody the week after a major, when most guys are just like going through the motions, that is an avowed sort of fan and believer of that event and gunning to win it. And so you want motivation, and Matt Fitzpatrick is that for me as well. His record's good. He's defending champ. So continuing on with our schedule for the week, we're back. Major championship week, back to back. We have the Chevron Championship. I think it's half a major, as we've articulated many times on this podcast. You can't just uproot a longstanding major, drop it in the middle of Texas because an oil and gas company says that's where it needs to go, and say this is a major. It's like half. And last year's, I thought, wasn't too exciting. A little underwhelming. So that'll be good coverage, though, between Golf Channel and NBC. That's 10 to 2 on Thursday and Friday and 6 to 8 p.m. So kind of pushing into late night there, or I should say prime time. And then Peacock and NBC on the weekends with the 6 p.m. finish. Nelly Korda trying to win 5 in a row. A really great story right now for women's golf. So
that could not be the major I'm most of the week, too. I think, I mean, just, her going for 5 is like,
that's
insane.
The big story. Yeah.
I mean, this is like the best story in women's golf in a long time. Outside of Shan Shan, you know, this is.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a huge story. If it's on NBC and she's in the hunt, that'll be great for women's golf. It's like Valhalla for me. It's just not getting me going, you know, a Chevron. So, but Nelly will carry it for sure if she's in it. Elsewhere, we mentioned the Western Intercollegiate 10 p.m. finish on Golf Channel. We have the Champions Tour. I know you were longing for that after the Masters week. They took the week off. The Senior Circuit is back with the Invited Celebrity Classic. The Invited Celebrity Classic that will finish, I don't know, 5 to 7 p.m. on Golf Channel. That's some counter programming to the women's major. Notables: Billy Andrade, KJ Choi, John Daly. This reads like the Punta Cana list. Jim Furyk, Retief Goosen, Jerry Kelly, Justin Leonard, VJ, fresh off not talking to the press for a 10th straight year, David Toms. Notable celebrities. This is at Las Colinas, you know, bygone PGA Tour event, Las Colinas Country Club. Celebrities are Ray Allen, Tim Brown, Reggie Bush, Vince Carter, Roger Clemens, who is always available for these events, Roger Clemens, Tony Romo, Annika taking the green jacket off, not a pro, now a celebrity, and my old friend available.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Telling jokes, losing his sleeves, doing his bits, Larry the Cable Guy. I wonder who they pair him with. This is his scene, the Champions Tour. He's just playing the hits to those guys. So that's your champ. That's your schedule for the week. Let's rip through some news real quick. Oh, can we do Merch Corner? Merch Corner. You see RBC Heritage is doing their own gnome now with the tartan or the plaid. We need to get this gnome proliferation under control.
I don't think they'd be doing it if they knew what gnome culture was all about.
They're drafting off the Masters, the excitement around the Masters one. But what we just... we're going to become a nation of hedonists here. Come on. The RBC Heritage gnome that is now a thing. And the Valhalla merch was going viral this week. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, you got to look it up. I shared it on the Shotgun Start Instagram account.
All right. I'll look it up.
Or not the Instagram, the Twitter. So they are apparently the shorthand for the PGA Championship venue.
Hala.
Is called Hala.
Amazing. I want some.
It's so bad. It's bad. You can't be taken seriously.
I'm going to get you this sweatshirt.
I bet you are going to get that as a bit.
No. We're going to get it for you.
Holla hat, a holla sweater, holla shirt. You can't be doing that. You cannot. It delegitimizes things further. Holla. So that's merch corner. All right, ripping on with news. Rory is reportedly going to live, is not going to live. A pretty pretty resounding denial of that report that came from, I want to say, like a London business
City
newspaper.
AM.
Yeah. So $850 million, that came out. It was great to just come off the Masters right into that kind of scuttlebutt again. Just heartwarming. Says, no, I'll be playing on the PGA Tour forever.
I had gotten a text. I was playing golf with, I was in the non-lottery winner division. Of course, most of us couldn't enter the lottery. I guess KVV and Smartin were non-winners, but it was me, KVV, Smartin, and Porter. And I had gotten a text from a friend, with, you know, some insider that the Rory to live was really getting hot.
Uh-huh.
This was before the report came out. And
there's all that weirdness with Norman that Masters. Yeah.
I said it to the group, but the dynamic just completely changed the mood, everything. It was like,
really?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
is this happening?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We talked about FaceTiming as a group and saying, hey, oh, hey, just checking in, seeing how you're doing.
FaceTiming Rory?
Yeah, as a group, you know, like doing a group FaceTime with like.
Yep. Yep. Oh,
but yeah, so he comes out, denies it.
I mean, I think you have to, if you're not. I mean, it was just going to persist. It's been some, I think he was playing around with the Chubby Chandler comments around the Honda. You know, he kind of was cheeky about that, it felt like. But this was a pretty unequivocal denial. So that's news for a day. 2031 PGA is going to Kiawah Ocean Course. That's announced by the PGA. Maybe they'll sell shirts that just say Wah on it, like Holla by then.
Wait, when is that? 2031?
2031.
PGA.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Let's book the house.
Do you think we should book it now?
Honestly, that was like one of my favorite majors we ever did by far. Just
the only tough thing was the food situation.
Well, yeah, you're on a resort island, not a lot of options, closes early. But it was,
we hit those bikes.
That was the best. That was the best. I mean, it was still like coming out of the pandemic.
Still exists in 2031.
Or doesn't. Hope it doesn't. Or does.
It's a good question.
It's a fair question. That's awesome. I think that's a great move, right? We're in favor of the PGA going back to the ocean course.
Oh, amazing.
Different kind of
amazing venue.
Cool.
The thing that's why it's amazing is like you're almost guaranteed at that time of year in May, weather. Like I mean, a calm day out there, it blows 15.
It's not the yeah.
Do you think Phil will be playing still?
No, I don't actually.
Be the 10-year anniversary of like one of the greatest major championship accomplishments that nobody will ever bring up with the name Phil Mickelson now.
I actually don't think he will be. Do you?
Maybe. I could see
he'll
it.
He'll be like 60 something.
It'll be all part of his wellness for coffee bit.
Yeah, it could be. New Live executives, they hired a bunch of like CFO, this, that, and the other, HR, not big deal, but I mean, notable in the fact that they're hiring high level executives. Doesn't feel like a thing that's folding up shop or in discussions to merge or talk, you know, that you can imply what you want or not, but it doesn't seem like they're scrambling in any way. We got to mention, by the
way. How would you feel if it came together and the TGL and Liv merged and that's how they brought it all together?
I don't know how I'd feel. I'd need to see what it was on paper. I'd feel like it's just...
Like if it was a blend of those two, you know, the one league that we haven't ever seen.
Yeah, that's... I mean, my whole thing is like... Is there room for this? The ratings are down from normal golf. Is there enough appetite for more golf? Yeah, four man. Okay. And they're combined.
indoor outdoor element,
best players,
would that be
obviously
something that you'd be interested in?
I'd be interested in seeing it. I'm not bullish that it would necessarily work or pop, be have a great interest, but yeah, I'd love to see it try. You have ESPN or somebody distributing it.
Seems like that is something like figuring out how to reintegrate LIV, because like I, you know, a lot of these guys on LIV don't want it to go away. I can't imagine Yasser wants it to just go away. They poured X amount of dollars into it, but then how do you bring it back? Like if you get them all together,
so you're saying it could be like the merger in the NFL, and those leagues never played each other. Like you remember before there was interleague play. And all of a sudden, you get to the world. You could have Ball Frogs versus Legion 13 someday.
That was the very. I gotta say, the best news about Rory coming out was I didn't have to get rid of my Ball Frog hat.
There you go.
I love that hat. I wear it regularly.
You do. You had it in Augusta.
I wear it regularly. If I had to get rid of the Ball Frogs hat, I would have been. It would have been a sad day. I would have.
Last but not least, we should note Toasty is out solo. The only solo, it's like doesn't play well with others tee time at the odd numbered field at RBC. So
he's got to be happy. He's going to play fast.
Yeah. He's going to play fast. Doesn't have to deal with anyone. Yeah.
Maybe a good bet would be Toasty first round leader, because who knows if he could intimidate his walking scorer.
This is a gambling podcast. FRL right there. Toasty boy. News, hey, last bit. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? How do you feel about the white face mask on the Browns helmet?
It's great. They're bringing it back. It's the one I grew up with. It's crazy how much people care about that tiny little stuff. Especially, I know all fan bases probably, but the Browns fans go, all they've had to care about for 20 years are like uniforms and not the team. So they get nuts about the little trim and every little detail. But last bit of news, Masters TV ratings are down 20% from last year.
Not great.
I thought there was just overreaction to this, if I'm being honest. I think, you know, it wasn't a super great dramatic final round. Scottie Scheffler was kind of cruising. A lot of stars like Spieth, while he may be just a guy between the ropes, he is still a star. A lot of stars were gone. Rory was not a factor. Others, Tiger. Last year was on Easter Sunday when everybody's at home. I am not trying to rationalize this. Like, ratings are a problem in golf. Like, interest is down. I just don't know that the Masters dip is part and parcel with the other stuff. It just, I feel like making big sweeping conclusions about the Masters ratings being down is presumptive compared to, but I think you can for everything else, all the PGA Tour ratings being down. I just thought there was a little bit of an overreaction to that. Is that fair or no? Are you not buying it?
I don't know. I think there's been some irreparable damage done to the sport by these greedy, greedy pampered Fs. I do think there is some fatigue, and even when, you know, I think everybody saw how great golf is when everybody's together last week. I mean, it was an awesome week. The ratings didn't show it, but like, whether you live, you know, live fans will probably say that the 20% dip was because Talor wasn't in the field. I think like this is a sign that it should be a sign to the PGA Tour players just across the board and the live players. This thing's got to get resolved. Your greed is hurting golf in the long term. Everything, and not golf, pro golf.
Yeah.
Because everything has been roses in golf outside of men's professional golf. And these assholes need to stop fighting over, you know, a percentage here, percentage there. You're making more money than you ever could have imagined when you turned professional. The amount of money in the game has never been better. So get your asses back together and start singing Kumbaya together, because the sport is hurting because of it.
Imagine going down to the sponsors exemption list at Punta Cana and talking to that collection of fellows about fighting over the percentages they are. I what's interesting to me is like the big bifurcation talking point of like, that these pros, the pros are the ones that parrot this in the tour. Golf's never been hotter coming out of the pandemic. It's never been better. And if we roll it back, you're scoring an own goal and you're disrupting that progress as if like it has any relevance. And here they are, it's golf being hot. They're the ones that are failing. They're the ones that are turning people off. They're the ones that are losing interest and dipping as golf is, you know, been hot from the pandemic. But then they'll speak out the other side about the bifurcation talking point. So, all right. I think that does it for a unique Wednesday episode for sure. We'll cut it down on Friday, get back to golf advice, make it a little snappier, check in on Toasty. Send your Toasty tales. We've got a few more kind of buried away for a future day. So everyone enjoy your Wednesdays. We will be back with you on Friday.